chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration. It was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went down to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I am bringing to you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw it, they made known to them what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Who doesn't like that time of evening when you sit with a child nearby and tell them a story? And then after you are finished with the story, they say to you, "Again, tell me again." Some stories, we all know, are forgettable, but other stories endure. What stories endure in your mind? Was the night before Christmas and all through the house? Was it Ebenezer Scrooge and Tiny Tim? God bless us, everyone. Is the story for you danced out with the Nutcracker in the Brave Soldier and the Terrifying Mice, Barrington Bunny and his free, free gift? Or is it the Polar Express? That last line is the one that gets me every time. Though I've grown old, the bell still rings for me, as it does for all who truly believe. Tell me a story. Tell me again. Psychologist Bruno Bettelheim, in his classic book, The Uses of Enchantment, writes about the importance of children's stories. He says, "A child does not need lots of stories. A child needs to hear really good stories over and over again. A great story has wisdom to teach, wisdom that may be lost without repetition." The children really do have it right when they say, "Again. Tell me the story again." A child needs to contemplate a great story, to immerse themselves in the atmosphere that it creates in them and around them. Bettelheim says, "Do not give them an illustrated version, no pictures or cartoons, because it cuts them off from their own life and their own imagination. Let them conceive of the story in their own head. Let them draw upon the experiences from their own life. Then it becomes personal, significant for them." We were in chapel chat this last week. John and Jimmy and I were able to play music with the kids, and one of the preschool teachers was telling a marvelous, very animated version of Mary and Joseph. traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a very long journey. And as the teacher was telling, she asked the children a question. She said, "How do you think 9-month pregnant Mary, with her huge belly, traveled all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem?" And one voice in the back quietly said, "Uber?" I just thought, perfect. Absolutely perfect. Let them bring their own experience. Let them wrestle with the story and make the story their own. Linger over the story. It takes time to truly begin to understand what the story has to say. Our story starts in childhood, and children need to grow into this story with all its richness, with all its strangeness. I really do believe if children are given few narrow ideas in childhood, they may just grow into a narrow life. People need to share with children stories, including the strange stories. Some people think children shouldn't get strange stories, especially religion. They think religion will keep them from dealing with reality, when actually the opposite is true. We deal with what is most real. The stories of our faith help us to see. And yes, some parts of our story are going to be strange, very strange. Tonight, did you hear? The shepherds were frightened. Don't tame these things down. The angels overwhelmed them. Let them. Don't hold back on mighty Caesar with all of his power. And don't cut out the part about murderous Herod. Don't tame down the story. The strangeness of the story speaks about the depths that we experience in life. We have to talk about the strangeness if we're going to be able to face the depths of life, the hardest parts of our lives. Because the story that we have is a story that moves through the depths up to the heights. And therefore, it can give us hope. Hope of how we can truly live. The story that we have is a story that fills us with hope that overflows the possibility. What does the story say? With God, nothing is impossible. Tell me the story. Tell me the story again. Luke tells a long story of faithful old Zechariah. Zechariah, who's been faithful his whole life, but yet when his moment comes, he hesitates. So the angel strikes him silent for 9 months until he is ready for something new to happen. Mary is part of that story also, but the same angel comes to Mary, but she does not do what Zechariah does. Mary says, "Is it possible? How can you make this possible?" Mary embodies the ideal person of faith who says, "Let it be. Let it be for me. I'm in. I'm all in." Mary's kind of strange too, you know, when you stop and think about it. She expects God to do the impossible through her. The story of Christmas is where God does impossible things through us. All we have to do is be ready for it. Christ comes into the world. Christmas still happens. It's our story to hear again and again. Because sometimes when God knocks at our door, there's no room at our inn. We look out and say we don't like what we see, and so we keep the door closed. But sometimes, and even when we're not sure what it means exactly, we let that door open up. And when we do, the world changes, and grace comes flooding into our lives. The Christmas story may be about Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger. At its core, that's what it is. But that story is not just a story about centuries ago. It's about us opening ourselves up to what God is trying to do to us now, in this world, in our lives. And God is telling us, even if we don't know what it means yet, Christ will come to us. God reaches out to us and brings us new possibilities, even peace on earth, if we can imagine it, if we can allow. There's nothing for us to do except, like the shepherds, not be afraid. Not be afraid of the holiness, the wonder that surrounds us. So we truly can take it in, the wonder of the message, and not be afraid, because now we know God is with us. Let the holiness overwhelm us tonight. The Son of God has been given to us, love given to us in all its vulnerability. This is a story. This is our story. Hear the story again. Let it sink in deeply in all of its strangeness. It can change us. It can put our lives into perspective. It can help us to see the possibilities that God alone can give. Like the shepherds, it's our turn to give God the glory. Like Mary, it's our turn to open ourselves to the possibility of God working in our world and in us. And it's time for us to ponder these things in our heart that we might be ready. Again, hear the story again. Let the story shape us. There's more in the story that God wants us to hear. Tonight we hear the story that takes just a few minutes to tell. But it takes a lifetime to learn. Christ is born. The world is made new. Again, tell me the story again. And as we hear that story again and truly hear, and we wake up on Christmas morning,